All right, 11:01, time to start. And I did remember to hit the record button right away today. So before we get started on any number of topics, there's a couple of new people here. And so I wanted to see if they wanted to tell us a little about themselves and how they got here. So Brenda, if you can hear me, do you want to offer some insight on yourself?
Sure, I would love to. I had a call in on my cell phone, my computer. This one I'm using doesn't have the voice on it. So I am in Phoenix, or I'm Peoria, Arizona. I'm about an hour out of Sedona. And I am a sound healer. I do quantum healing, and I am really into a lot of high frequency and energies. And when I watched your interview with Ed, on Gaia, I really loved it, and I actually rewatched it again this morning just to know what it's to. And I'm going to be coming to Mount Shasta in June, and so I'm really investigating a lot of ancient places, portals right now.
Good.
And so I'm intrigued with your whole experience. I really love it.
Thanks for saying so. That's a lot to unpack. We'll get to if there are questions or things that you've got along the way today, because we really don't have an agenda. You're here to kind of answer questions. So I assume that the interview with Ruben is how you got here today. Is that right?
Yes, I watched it again and I thought, I got to go look him up. What is he doing?
Yeah, a lot of people ask, what are you doing? Not in that way. But more tribe is showing up that understands what I'm doing and what is kind of trying to understand what they're doing. And so here we all are. I also see KK here. So KK, do you want to make a contribution? You want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got here today?
Yes, hi, my name is Karen. I live in Eagle, Idaho. I moved here a year and a half ago from San Diego, California. And I first found out about you with your video, with your podcast with Danny Henderson, where you were talking about the Andaras.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and I've just been so fascinated by your journey. I started following you. My friend and I are going to book a hike with you, hopefully in July, to hike Mount Shasta.
Awesome.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. I bought your book with the pictures. It's just like so amazing to me. Yes, I just love you, and I think everything you do is awesome. And I'm doing your class tomorrow as well.
Awesome. Great. I'm
Yes.
glad to hear that. There's a lot of information to cover. And if you know the reason why I do what I do, is because there's a short window we have before we need to exhaust every opportunity to help people understand what's going on right now, what this energy change that they sense is, whether they're ignorant to it or not, because certainly we were never helped along the way with any of this information. Even when it happened to me and everyone else I've known, when we have these extraordinary experiences, you want to turn to your left or right to find out who can explain what just happened, and there's no one there. So it just takes
Right.
time for all that to unfold, and then the universe just places the people in your path that are supposed to be here, sometimes to guide, but more often just to be supportive there. And they're going to tell you about their journey so you feel safe enough to talk about yours, because it's really important that we all hear it.
Yes, exactly. I totally agree. Yeah, thanks. So thank yes, so thank you. I'm just so excited to be here with you. I didn't realize there'd only be a few of us and that I would get to talk to you, so almost in person. but
well, you should take advantage of it now, because I don't think that there's going to be small, you know, numbers that show up for this. But that was the whole purpose when I decided to do these. The idea of me doing a podcast was not to host an event where I'm going to sit and I'm going to talk to you kind of like a radio commentator. And this was always meant to be an exchange for people that vibrated the same way that I do, so that you got a chance to ask your questions in real time with an audience around you that's all sympathetic, empathetic, knows what you're talking about, embraces it all. Here's a safe place for you to have these conversations. And so when you get the opportunity to open up, you go, girl.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. It oftentimes, you know, I tried to pick, trying to think of the best time that it would be great for everybody to participate and be live. And I used to do it a couple times a week, thinking I would meet different demands. Well, when the reality set in of who was actually showing up and participating, like I could see Michaela trying to, you know, scoot in and out. She's in Slovakia. So I was trying to be mindful to pick one time when everyone in the tribe could participate live that was still within the hours that weren't in the wee hours of the morning. And this seemed to be the best spot. Now, having said that, the replays get much more legs than this. So yes, it's great that we get together and we get to have these conversations. And, you know, this is mystery school. Topics or whatever is going on in your life today, and there are no books to get, there was no homework to do. We're just here to assist each other on the journey. We get to allow it, you know, recognize your sovereignty, and whatever gift you have, we're here to help you unfold that. And you're here to help us unfold ours. That's what we're all here doing together.
I love that.
Well, that's me spewing. So is there anything else? Do you want to ask anything else right now? Do you have any topics at the top of your head? Do you have a little list that you've been accumulating?
You know, I do have a question. Was a week ago, I was walking in my neighborhood. I live by a pond and there was a dog barking, and I didn't see family owners or anything. And thought, well, maybe, I wasn't sure if it was a stray, but it ran away, so that was fine. The next day I was walking and there it was again by itself. So I took pictures. I thought maybe I would post them on Nextdoor to see if anybody lost a dog. So I took pictures, the dog came up to me. I looked at them later and the sun wasn't shining on the dog, and there's, they look like the light beings that you talked about coming down from the dog. There was like the rainbow of colors, like two legs with the rainbow of colors. It sort of looked like a face in between them. And I'm wondering what that was.
I wish I could tell you exactly what it was. What I can tell you through that observation was that you're definitely connected to something higher than yourself. And that you vibrate at the level to be able to experience it, because you just were able to articulate it really easily. Yeah, I've heard stories recently of, you know, some people that have crossed my path, like you all, that, you know, have got here, they've had their own experiences and they're trying to unpack them as well. And many of them have the same things, that they see these things out of the corner of their eye. And like they had form. And as soon as they look in that direction, their heart jumps a little bit, because in their 3D bodies, they're not used to that. And so whether it's their little fear thing kicking in, all of a sudden their vibration dropped and woo, whatever they just saw was gone. Now you understand how that phenomenon happens. I'm trying to help you understand that the greater degree you can take control of your vibration with, the greater opportunity you're going to have to experience things in higher realms and maintain that. You know, when we can't hold on to it, we get kind of stuck. When I hear the extraordinary things, here's evidence that is quite capable for you to have experiences with things beyond yourself. Whether that's your higher self speaking to you or not, only you'll know that for sure. But, you know, other aspects are certainly communicating with you. You've known that for a long time. We all do. That's why we're here and listening to this stuff. But I just pointed out to just remind you that when you think that you're saying something, you probably are. If there's any opportunity you have to capture it, and you know, people that possess that kind of aura have the ability with our phones. You've seen pictures of what's happened around me and light beings. You have the ability to hold that image however that happens. So I would photograph as much as you can see and then study that later, because all of these are just more proof. The beings that are trying to lift us up from the next realm, the next higher dimension that's trying to assist us on our way, are using every method they can to reach out. Every way that they can figure out a way to communicate with us, they're going to take advantage of it so that we get used to the communication. There is so much more they're trying to prep us with, but until we get used to that vibration, we have to shed a lot of things first. And that's assuming that we're open to these types of things, that we don't ridicule things that we don't understand, we haven't experienced yet, because that's where it starts. The first one is to get your attention and to find out your believability factor. If that was dissolved, then the universe is ready to show you all the other things that are meant for you. And it's not necessarily collective information that it has in mind for you. Your journey is unique. So is your gift. And it's about to come into use here pretty soon. And I can't do whatever it is that you do. Even if I could, I wasn't meant to do that. I have gifts of my own and a purpose of my own. And so within the tribe, it's really comforting when I see new people show up and we get to kind of figure out what their gifts are. And then, you know, we comfort that along the way, because one day that skill is going to come into play. And you're the only one in the tribe that was meant to do that. None of the rest of us worry about it, that we ever learned how to do that from you, because we have you or me. That was our gift. So the tribe is here to embrace that idea quickly, because you all can sense that energies are changing rapidly around us. And we're just trying to take the information in as quickly as we can and dispense it to this small tribe around us. You know, I thought over the last few days, I had given more thought to, you know, there's certainly more attention coming my way. I had three interviews this week, one with Lily Nova, one with Sherry, and that just compounds attention coming in this direction. Not mine necessarily, understand, this tribe and the orbit of people that are coming together. So the Dave Wallaces and the Robin Rices and the Paula Davises and all of this that we knew, you know, somehow we all found our way here and we all proved to ourselves, did our due diligence, that what we're chasing isn't some dream that we've had. We've made it tangible. Paula is my favorite person when I think about that, because she has put it into those kind of terms for people to understand that this is, first of all damn possible. Not just possible, it's probable. Once you can get to that level and open yourself up to this new information now you're primed for the universe to start to feed you. Let me rephrase. Not really feeding you any new information. It's not. It's helping restore out of your own DNA information that's been just dormant there for a while. It's not going to be dormant much longer. And so all of these attempts are made so that you can grab command of those things quickly and master them fast, because that's what we're counting on. I'm going to sit back and be quiet now for a while.
No, Lowell, that's perfect. I have a question to piggyback onto that. So yesterday, March 3rd, 23, was a very magical portal day that a lot of people around the planet would manifest the future of love, prosperity, abundance, no war for everyone. And March 22nd is going to be very powerful also were the Heaven's Cross. And I wanted to know your thoughts on all of March, because March is a huge shift for humanity.
Well, I saw this again today. There was a meme I saw last year, and it got my attention. That really, in the Roman calendar, March was the first month of the year, because here is where the beginning of everything began at the solstice. And then, you know, they thought in terms of the calendar that worked that way. So if you start to look at the world and the way that, you know, the cosmos spins from that perspective, March is here. We're at the beginning. It's like we have a brand new slate, and here we're going to start to write the future on it. All of us are co-creators in this space right here. We are, have visions of what is coming next, and that's great because of preparations for those details. Now the I's that need to be dotted, the T's need to be crossed, all the details that we need to understand before this imminent thing happens, it's coming quickly. Does that answer your question, Brenda, or do you have a follow-up? Go ahead.
No, it does. Do you feel, I think it's still going to be a few years before the whole transition happens, but I think it gets more intense this year, right?
Well, there's lots of evidence of that. If you believe like I do, that this is all, whatever is going to change on the planet, physically, metaphysically, is the influence that we're getting from the cosmos. It's coming through our sun and our solar system, but that's coming from our central sun out there. We're in a band of enhanced photon plasma coming and bathing not just the planet, but every sentient being, including us, stored in that elevated information. Is what you're getting and storing at a cellular level to prepare your body for what's going to take place, because in the next realm, we are no longer in carbon form. We're crystalline. Your light bodies are about to kick into gear when we get to that next stage of evolution for the Earth. And our vibration is what helps us get there. When we get there, what we needed to be able to hold higher frequencies and greater light is being embedded in us right now, guys. We're ignorant to any of this taking place, but believe me when I tell you, I've done the due diligence and this is true. So in addition to this energy that's been coming at us from the sun, and look, we had an X-class flare that didn't come at the Earth, but we're certainly appreciating the impact it had yesterday. And there was another one a couple of days ago. Now, these are not regular things that happen, but in addition to that enhanced plasma coming our way, the Earth's magnetic field has been deteriorating over time. And you almost have to believe that that was part of the cosmic design as well. So eventually, the things that have been protecting us from all this solar phenomenon is breaking down. Look at, especially now with all this enhanced activities, I'm sure you've seen pictures of the Aurora Borealis. Well, that is what happens when that magnetic energy hits, seeks out the poles in the Earth, top and bottom, and that's where that energy gets absorbed. It goes right to the core of the Earth, and then here's why earthquakes and tsunamis and volcanoes erupt, and all that phenomenon is that energy coming this way is absorbed by Earth, and that's great because it's a cleansing process. But now, that energy, like everything else, like the capacitors we are, that energy's got to go somewhere else. So that upheaval and what's going on with Earth now, and as catastrophic as the things around us look, I was just looking at in amazement. I'm in Minnesota where it's pretty safe, and in spite of the fact that we got 14 inches of snow in a day, I was watching things in Southern California where they do not get snow, and places were buried under the snow in areas that, you know, wouldn't necessarily do that. All catastrophic things. So, you know, it's hard as a human being to not be frightened by those phenomena. So here's where, man, I don't have the time to take you through this entire thought pattern to get you to remember that you are much more than this body that you're riding around in right now. You're an immortal soul that's been here, and you just picked this particular incarnation and this particular form to serve a purpose. You know why you're here to help. I am certain every person in this room is a light worker, and you know it. That's what you're doing here. So you've just found friends and resources that you can feed off of. But there is greater light coming in all our directions, guys, not just Earth. Everyone's getting it. So when we know that that phenomenon is taking place, we'd be silly to think that we weren't going to see these manifestations on the Earth of that go on. Does it look catastrophic to the 8 billion of us critters crawling along the planet? Yes, it does. To the Earth, she's just kind of shrugging her shoulders and getting used to what's next. So how we can help arrest our own fears, first of all, is where you start. And once you can hold that space, now you can allow for what's happening. And the universe is ready to show us. You know, we've been living in this lousy duality drenched world to learn about it. We were, you know, pieces of source that snapped off. And when we came to learn the lessons here, it was that we were, you know, part of had that expression, that we came to help it learn more about itself. That's why the lessons we have are unique. I'm learning the things on behalf of spirit on this particular watch that were my lessons I signed up for in this particular soul contract. And each one of you has one. Now, if you want to take the time to go back and remember all the other incarnations you had and the lessons that you learned, which were all different, unless you had one you needed to repeat to get it, this is a cycle that we've been in. But we're done learning 3D lessons. And the simple fact of the matter is, it's not that we have no more to learn. Earth is no longer going to be a three-dimensional construct here shortly. She's about to, in her cosmic cycle, move into the fourth dimension. And so that realm where we come from, where we reincarnate from, where we recycle and you know, assess these new soul contracts, we're returning to that place. And all this is just preparation for that period. Comments? Okay, Paula, take it away.
Oh, I was just going to tell Brenda, you know, this is the second or third time that I've heard that something around the 22nd of March is imperative or important. So that's interesting how that keeps coming up. So that's interesting. And that makes sense. It's the spring solstice. So, yeah.
It does and, for me.
Yeah.
It was almost like from the beginning of the year, whenever that energy changed, that we sensed that that was in preparation for what we're about to begin to build now. I'm sorry, Paula, continue, honey.
Oh, no, I was just going to concur with that. And, you know, I do like to look for, because everything is the same thing. I don't feel like you can hide the truth anywhere or any situation. I was looking up some information and it happened to pop up that said the forecast from the business perspective, you know, the very left brain perspective is that spiritually based services and products between the year of 2023 and 2029 are going to increase dramatically is what they're forecasting. So even in that left brain realm, they're seeing the musings and the evidence of that. So it's just presenting itself everywhere, not just in the spiritual community. It's really kind of showing itself everywhere. And of course, science is opening up to the ancient teachings too. You know, the quantum physics is like, oh, you know, all this stuff that they're discovering from a quantum physics perspective and having to accept it even in the broader physics realm is what's been taught for thousands of years, right? That a wave is a thought and it'll take on the information of the thinker,
right? The observer affects the outcome of a situation. It's not independent of the observer. So it's showing itself everywhere. And so I guess it's going to have a compounding effect. Everything compounds, not just money. Mm-hmm. Every thought that is thought keeps gaining more energy and more energy and more energy and more momentum behind it. So I could see where it would be tip over quickly from a compounding perspective, right? I see it. You can kind of rationally put it together.
I'm just hoping that in divine timing, because we all know that in the next realm, there's no money. Goods and services don't exchange hands that way. All of our needs are met. We're all connected to one another. But watch and look at all the systems that are dismantling right now. Now that we finally figured out that when silver and gold used to actually stand for something and bound that dollar you held in your hand. Now that we know that that dollar doesn't do that anymore, that pretty much they created as much as they want to. When that sinks in and you really understand now how the world spins that way, now you know how we've been kind of, I don't want to say trapped, but we've been on this hamster wheel and we didn't realize we were on it. Is the way that we grew up when we were conditioned, we just thought, this is what you do. We can see some success in all of it, or, you know, that it was waved in front of us like a red flag. Here's some success you can have, but you got to do this, 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 and this. And it's not until you stop and you get to take a deep breath that day that you don't really give a crap about what anybody else thinks, when you finally get to look back and see how none of your life was really driven by you. You had just succumbed to everything that had been shown to you. That little device you carry in your pocket that you're so attached to right now has stolen your attention and prevented you from having moments when you can connect with nature and the things that we get to connect to now. So we're going to continue to enhance that, because that beats any program that somebody's going to put on TV or anything else. I can't get those experiences in some produced environment. I have the hardest time watching anything but some kind of reality TV where I can witness somebody's gift, or like a concert. Those are the types of things I'll sit still for to watch on TV. But if you're asking me to watch produced material, even movies these days, I just can't get into it anymore, because I know it's all freaking fake. And what content is in these things is just meant to charge us. And it definitely doesn't resonate with me. So I'm not a great guy to ask to go to the movies with, but oh well. Go ahead, Brenda. You can ask the question out loud. I can kind of see them coming up, but go ahead and ask.
Yeah, I was just curious, like, because I still eat meat. I grew up on a farm in the Midwest and I'm in Arizona. So I do believe in organic, non-GMO. I have gardens and a lot of fruit trees here. But will meat and lower frequency foods go away naturally?
Yep.
Not by
yep.
And I'm not going to eat anymore, but just phase out.
Well, here, let me give you a whole different idea of food, because it took me a while to assimilate this. You know, I got to see what the Lemurians do. That space in Telos, mm-hmm. where they have hydroponic gardens, was amazing. It took me a while, because at first when I saw it, when I was trying to think of the numbers of people that I thought that was there, that they had to, you know, feed, I wondered whether it could do it. What is there enough here to do that? It wasn't until later when I understood the physiology of those bodies. They're light bodies. You know, in the end, the real truth is that their energy comes directly from the sun. Think about what we do right now when we eat vegetables and fresh fruit and that type of thing. All we're, those are just containers for holding solar energy for us to ingest. Think of yourself as an electromagnetic being, and now you can see the rationale behind that. So, you know, that doesn't exist to any degree that benefits us when we eat it from dead animals, or even when we cook those vegetables. You know, we all know the best nutrients come from fresh, you know, raw vegetables. So that is all part of what it takes to maintain a carbon body. We need that. We need to put that fuel in our body. They don't need that kind of fuel. They are crystalline bodies. So when they eat because they like to eat, not because it's necessary for them to maintain this. But their system doesn't work in a way where they have to find the closest bathroom when this is all done. Their systems use every bit of energy without any waste. It just transmutes into something else. But you know, the idea and act of eating is not what they do there from a three-dimensional standpoint. Does that help?
It does, because I go outside in the morning. I have a labyrinth out there, and I'll stand in there when I meditate and connect. But I'll open my mouth to the sun and just like prana, just like eat it and feel fulfilled. And lately, it's more like I eat meat. I'm like, oh, like I don't want it.
And meat's just too heavy. It just became too heavy for me. And not just meat, or not just red meat, because I kind of phased out of that. Not that I don't love steak. I love steak. I'm a human being, but I'm not interested in having it anymore. It's just kind of phased out. And I didn't do that because I had any intention to stop eating anything for a diet. I'm telling you, I just had different impulses from either my higher self or the universe or something over a period of time when this really kicked in. From then until now, I'm 35 pounds lighter and I feel like my joints have been renewed.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, Michaela, you've been popping in and out. Do you want to make a contribution now that you're here?
Yes. Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, I had some difficulties with the computer. I don't know why, because today I wanted to open one of the topics that I'm really interested in, but seems that I will not be able because I was wanting to share screen and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I hope next time.
Well, then let's see if we can't do it next week, because I'm interested. Now you got my curiosity piqued.
Yes. You know, it is about entering inner earth and about various kinds or various ways how to enter it. Because, you know, I was, sorry for changing the topic.
No, this is the topic.
By the way, I also have some reaction on what you were saying. But this book, I don't know if you can see it, maybe it's reversed, but it is one book from series that written Radu Sinamar, the Romanian author. I think I will tell you next time about it more because it really is worth it. And he describes various kinds of possibilities how to enter inner earth on a different planes and on a different ways. And I just wanted to discuss it with you because it's very, very interesting for me. And also, I think it has something to do with what you were mentioning about the time and the March, like March is some special time. You know, so from what I know in Druidry, there is the circle of the year where you have solstices and equinoxes and also four other festivals in between, which are so-called moon festivals. And so now we are approaching the
spring equinox.
Spring equinox, yes. But the times that are traditionally thought to be very special and very magical, like the veil between the so-called fairy realm and the human realm is thinner. Those times are usually around the festival of Bialtana, which is 1st of May, and then 1st of November, Samhain, which is the celebration of the ancestors, you know. And so, yeah, but I think I will discuss it next time because it's really a vast topic. interesting thing is that during these times, it is said that those portals or those realms that are subtle are more open. So maybe also it's also somehow related to entering inner earth, you know. I don't know. There is really, really much to tell. And as you were saying, this one more thing, then that the March is the beginning of the year or something. It really is. It differs in various traditions, like in Druidry, the beginning of the new cycle is considered to be in November, in the ancestors' celebration time, because it is like in the winter solstice, in the around 21st of December, the new sun is born, you know. But even before that birth, there is a period of darkness. The darkness that precedes the birth. It is the darkness of the ancestors. And the ancient Celts, they celebrated this time very, very much, this time of darkness, where the seed of light that will be born in the summer solstice is kept deep in the earth, in the dark, and is nurtured by the ancestors. And then it gets birthed in the winter solstice, and then it gradually grows in power, and it culminates in summer solstice and so on. So I just wanted to say that.
It feels like we're in that process now. Like it started, that energetic change about that. And, you know, when we describe these cycles, they're really not calendar driven. That's how we understand them in this realm. They've always looked at where the sun is and, you know, how full she is and what positions the planets are in and where on the planet am I standing when I make these observations about the magic that you can connect to. All of that has relevance. But, you know, unless that was a rabbit hole you went on your own, these were not topics that were covered in school.
Yeah, surely. But I think these are very like basic and elemental topics that we should know about, you know, because we are living on this planet, and it has so much to do with the energy that we are experiencing when the conditions we are living in. It is so much affected by the cycles of Earth and other cosmic objects. So it's just so strange to be blind about it, you know.
That's why they called it mystery school, because really the people that are in charge, you know, they're not comfortable with this kind of information being known, much less shared. They put a cap on it for a long time, haven't they? Well, now that we're all coming into our own power and we see it for what it is and knew that they really didn't ever hold any control over us. Oh, they're trying to do everything they can right now to hang on whatever power they still think that they have. And yet it's not that somehow civilly we're all going to rise up and just take this back. The universe has already taken care of that. As I said before, as I've watched the extremes get so extreme between this side and that camp and this camp over here and why we can't agree on anything, I knew that it was going to take a cosmic reset for that to ever be fixed. And here it comes. So what we get to start with is we don't have to clean up the messes from behind. No, the next realm, we already know who we're connected to and how. We've all been here. Never mind that all our gifts that have been stored away in our DNA for all of these lifetimes have just been restored to us. So here, humanity, let's see what you can do now with unmanipulated DNA. And by the way, we're going to kind of supercharge you because there's new light coming in your direction. So you're going to be able to hold greater light. And now we're going to really see what human beings can really do. You're going to take a different form. So yes, you learned all these other lessons, but it's time for Earth to climb. And nothing can stop that. We just have to adjust ourselves so that we vibrate at the same level, because I'm destined for that. I want to see what new Earth is about. There's so many other tangents I can walk down on the importance of this to the rest of the galaxy and the importance on what humanity's role in the galaxy is and why this experiment just for eons went the way that it did, but this is done. Not to say that there isn't third dimensional components elsewhere in the galaxy, there will be, but Earth is no longer playing in that field. She's about to rise into a whole nother level of just being, and her vibration isn't compatible with the stuff that we're in right now. All this is going to entropy away, and the rest of us that vibrate at the right place, you know, we just move into our new roles. Your body's already equipped with what it needs on the inside. That's about to blossom like a seed that's been planted there for all of us, even the unaware. The stuff is there waiting for them. So bless your all hearts that you're all here, because whatever triggered you to be open and aware to all of this, you were meant to know this, first of all, for yourself. All my guides have just said, remind everyone to tend to their own flames right now. Tend to your own flames. I've heard people that, you know, just woke up and they're far enough into their journeys that they can see where this is headed for them. And now they're worried about their families. Well, guys, that's not tending to your own flame. If you're worried about any other being making it to where you think you're going, that's not up to you. So I wouldn't spend your attention there. Time for you to move on. They'll find their own way there. They were sovereign beings just like you were, with their own lessons to learn and their own soul contract they created. So you have to honor that for them as well. And whatever relationship you had along the way that put you on the same paths, just honor that as well. But your own flame of all times is more important than anything right now. Whatever gift you have that you're supposed to master, we all kind of expect that you're going to step up and master it right now, because you're already there. And one thing that Dave pointed out this last week that I will point out for the rest of you, because yeah, it's true. We've been talking about ascending all this time. Every light worker in this room right here, let me tell you this right now, you've already ascended. If you can sense what's in the next realm, you're straddling dimensions like I am already. And maybe you can't come back and explain these things to the degree that I do yet. I'm telling you, you will. You all vibrate at that level. And every tool that the universe can provide for us is being given to us right now. That's why these things are changing energetically so quickly, because that's how quickly this phenomenon is about to take place here. And they're trying to do everything they can to assist us. You know, in most of these cases, you should be thinking about it as your higher self is stepping in from the other side to help you get this right now, so that you can get it, steady your own ship, and get yourself grounded, so then you can be of service to others. Can't do that until you are set. So that was another tangent I went down. So there you go. Who's got something to offer so I don't have to listen to myself for a while? Oh, I thought Phil was reaching for his mic. No, he reached for his bottle.
I can open up my mic.
There we go.
How are you guys?
It's good to see you.
Yeah. I got away last weekend and went down south. We met up with my brother-in-law, and we're doing some hiking with my little ones. My daughter is 10, and man, we did some miles on the Red Rocks. So that was really cool. Went down and warmed up. But I think, man, I've got so much stuff going on in my life. I think, Paula, you were talking about family members that are getting curious about what we're interested in. And, you know, I've shared, you know, a lot of personal information of my background and some of my family dynamics. And this last 2 weeks have been just crazy. And so as the more I learn about ascension, I'm becoming aware that some aren't coming. And so, you know, my sister was struggling, and I helped her kind of get into a program, an addiction type of program. But we quickly realized, look, this just isn't enough. It's more than this. And so I spent some time actually having her admitted for suicide watch in a hospital. And And that's, you know, that's going through my mind. It's like, so I wasn't in a position, you know, with my addiction background, I wasn't able to show up for other people. And so I've been able to show up, but I can't savor. I can't make people listen or understand the information or even have the curiosity to contemplate the information. So I have that going on. And then I have my 80-year-old dad that, you know, I've kind of shared my backgrounds with him, and he had a scheduled back surgery. Well, that didn't quite go as planned. And I'm trying to be really present in the, you know, when is the time to share? When's the time to listen? And I felt like I'm one of those guys that the people that have influenced my life, I share that. Not just the books I read, but people I listen to. But Mellon Thomas talks a lot about near-death experiences. And with losing my little sister, it got me really curious. Like, where did she go? And to listening to these experiences and how to apply those experiences to your life, it was so good for me and gave me some much needed understanding of different perspectives versus the religious lens that I was raised through. I shared some of those near-death experiences that contradict the religious perspective. And my dad, you know, we listened to it while he was in his hospital bed, and he is at a place where he is more open than he has ever been and admits that there's greater things happening that isn't studied within the church walls. And maybe a seed I dropped is creating this type of curiosity. And I tell my family, I have a sister that kind of leads she had a spiritual awakening first and kind of shed the light on the path. And I, you know, it took me a while to find it, but she kind of did that. And we get to talk about it. Like, there's literally ancestral, tangible healing happening. And I don't understand the full perspective of it, but I know it's bigger than me. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of it and to be in it. And I'm learning a ton. I'm learning a ton about myself, and I don't show up perfect, but I show up.
Look at all those qualities you just wrapped off about, you know, when you talk, when you don't talk. Your level of discernment is already there so that you can speak intelligently about when to talk and when not to talk. You already know. And so you're just honing that over time. But the fact that you're a little light, maybe you did get it from your sister. Maybe she was the one that infected you with, you know, a little bit greater light, and you started to be open to things. But from the things that you've talked about with you and your father, especially that one instance when you went over there and you thought it was going to be a shit show, and well, by the end of it, it was not. That was maybe the place where now your father finally saw your light. Where it came from really is irrelevant, but it was there and he noticed it. And that's why now he feels comfortable and safe having these conversations with you. Who else is he having these conversations with? I don't think, unless your sister has been an influence and she's, you know, at the same level of understanding that you are, then he's got no one else to share these things with. So now you see what your role is.
Yeah, I do. And when you talk about these gifts, you know, I'm always sitting back, what's my gift? What's my gift? And I'm sitting here today, I'm like, well, that's my gift, you know,
yeah.
It's at least one of them. And it's nice to grow into that. And I know that as I'm struggling with my sister, I'm struggling with my dad, and there's other family dynamics. They're looking for the information. They know that I'm on to something, and it's like, right. I've just never been dependable in my life.
So. Forget all that. I just keep thinking of the same Star Wars line going, stay on target, stay on target.
Yeah. So it's cool. There's a lot of magic happening. It's not all perfect, but it's happening, and I'm grateful for it.
There is magic. So I'm glad to hear you talk about it. Who else, gang?
Okay, I can share one thing. At the beginning, when you were talking about those catastrophic natural disasters and things like that, it was a couple of years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years, that I had a vision. I don't think it will become true, but it was a very powerful vision. And it was about the time when everything was literally falling down. There was some great changes on the surface of the earth. And I was going to die, and I knew that I was. But I was totally peaceful, and I was happy for the earth. And it was just, at that time, I realized what is really important for me internally, you know. It is not that, as you said, not caring about what other people, how they will make it. I not even caring about how I will make it, you know. There is bigger thing going on. It is about the earth.
There's the druid in you.
Yes, maybe, I don't know, but you know, but thanks to this vision, I really realized that what is my standing point in this. That's why when I see all the things in the news, and I don't watch news really, but you know, sometimes it just comes to me. I kind of take it as it is, and I know that it's part of a bigger picture.
I resonate with people that resonate with Gaia. So every time I see your face and the things that you do, it just warms my heart, because here's somebody that I know. I happen to know her, and I'm connected to Michaela in whatever way that happened. But more importantly, I know what she's here to do, and it's to support the earth. And whatever magic that is that she has command over, it's to serve that purpose. That's all what I think I'm doing here. And the rest of you, I love you all, but you're secondary to my primary mission, and that's to assist Gaia, because when she benefits, so will the rest of us. We always will. So that's why my focus is on her first, and it's not damn the humans. I'm one of you. I'm part of you, and I'm going through this process and want success for all of us as well. I get that, but she is the primary concern, and if we didn't see this before, we should see it now. When we get in symbiosis with her and we can command power from her, the elements, because we can all do that, that's when we're going to finally really see what we can do and what the earth was really made of. 3D earth is a beautiful place right now. 4D, I can't even begin to tell you what we're about to step into and how wonderful it is, but we're not carrying anything man-made forward. I'm going to remind you that you're taking what you have, your wits with you. You're taking your crystalline form, and that vision you had of New Earth is what we're about to construct.
Yes. You know, what comes to my mind is that it is important really to understand the earth and to feel her, you know. It's not about knowing some theories or techniques, or when you say command some powers, for me it means to kind of blend with it, you know. It's not like commanding it from outside. It's about really understanding, being tuned in it. And also, you know, I have seen various kinds of druid work, and not all of that I like, because some people, they work with the earth in a very, how to say, masculine way, but the bad masculine way, you know, like really commanding and controlling and directing. Yes. Something somewhere and things like that. But I really feel like the work that we need to learn, or those of us who have these tasks, is really to work with earth in a feminine way.
Yes.
Like you work with a woman, you know, with feeling her, with being slow enough, being really, you know what I mean, perceiving what is her rhythm, what is her nature.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I sense it. I'll say it out loud. I'm a guy. Feminine energy is rising. It should have. When everything in humanity's role dismantled, it was the point at which we started to define masculine and feminine roles. If we knew what the divine purpose was, it was that the divine connection to source was where the actual exchange took place. And that kind of divine inspiration came to her, and it was up to the masculine side to just carry it out. When we understood that perfect balance, wow, the earth was a perfect place. But when, you know, the patriarchy, you know, started to develop, and, you know, the idea of feminine divine energy was pushed aside because they wanted now control of the things that they wanted, here's where all dismantled. Well, right now, the things that we're all describing demonstrates to me that this energy balance is about to be achieved again. Because really, we can't get into the next level without that balance being achieved. That's why, by hook or crook, one way or the other, feminine energy is rising, whether we're paying attention or not. And to me, although druids, in my opinion, are genderless, although we have this idea of masculine and feminine, that's why I keep seeing all these druids crossing my path, because all of this assistance to come to Earth's assistance at that kind of connectivity level, that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm trying to express when I say I see people with druid backgrounds. Man, here's just a love for Earth and a command to connect with her in a way that these people we know are special, and we know what they're here to do. Paula, you went hot mic a moment ago.
I was just going to ask, and this question is for everybody, what would you say would be a good practice or something to keep your mind focused on as we depart from one another, but still want to keep our mind on all the things that we talked about today and the bigger picture of serving Gaia? What's one thing that we can do to keep focused and in the right direction, as we have a lot of forces outside of us that aren't in harmony with what we're believing and understanding?
I can tell you what came to my mind as a first thing, but I don't know if it will work for everyone, because in my process of connecting with Gaia, it was very important for me to connect with my own body and with my femininity. And the more and the deeper I feel myself and my femininity, the more and deeper I can feel the earth, and the more naturally and powerfully I'm connected to her. So that's one thing that comes to my mind. I don't know if it will work with everyone, but there is really some connection between the earth and the body. It is like those are different octaves of same thing. I don't know how to say it, you know.
Octaves, yes, very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In some way, you know, but Earth also has different layers and different kind of things to connect to it. So, yeah. And what you were saying, Lowell, about the development of femininity and masculinity, I think we are really on a good way, because I'm working with these topics for about more than 15 years, maybe, yes. Because the first time I was encountered with the female circles and gatherings, it was in one course that I was doing really kind of 15 years ago. And then, you know, the development went so much further. And when I see what women were talking about at that time and what they are talking about now, or what they are sharing now, you know, there was a really long period when women were healing their wounds, you know, very like deep wounds from either, I don't know, some bad masculine approaches or some other traumas. But I think that this season already is behind us, you know, mostly. that most women today that I have around, they are really getting comfortable with themselves. They're really getting confident. They're really shining their feminine energy. They do not need to talk much. Maybe they just meet and be together, you know, feel the field and maybe meditate or dance or do something really simple that is way further than the things that we were doing 10 years ago. So I'm really optimistic about it, that we are really getting there. And also men are doing wonderful work. In my country, there are so many men circles. It's really like, I admire it very much. Yeah. But sorry, Paula was asking a question. So maybe if someone else has the answer for that.
No, that was helpful for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That was a good answer. You mentioned, and I want to underscore a couple different times during the hour, Michaela, feeling things. I can't stress enough how when you start to reach out with your feelings and doing whatever you can to figure out what that means, because when I heard it for the first time, you know, reach out, not what Obi-Wan Kenobi was talking about, although it's not a whole lot different between the Force and whatever is connecting all of us, there is some parallels there. But in order to experience the things that are extraordinary to us, those things just outside our realm, that's where it comes from. It's, you know, that sixth sense, your ethereal astral bodies, that is what puts you in connection with those things. But that requires a vibration high enough to, first of all, realize you have it, and then high enough to use it. But we all can do that.
Isn't that also really... Sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michaela. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to add that the body is really important, you know, because it is really kind of bridge to the earth, because the body is made of the earth. So it is really a way working with our body, but in the nurturing sense, you know, in the feeling and nurturing sense, not in demanding and, I don't know, achieving sense.
You know, yeah. Something over the last couple of days, the word bridge came across my field too. And that whatever we were bridging, whatever expanses between where we were going and where we're coming, but that word came into my field this week too. Like we were bridging some kind of gap here. So I see, go ahead, Phil and Brenda and KK's mics are all hot. Who wants to go first?
To contribute to your question, Paula, I love talking about this dynamic, this relationship with the feminine and the male energies, especially from, you know, early on, because you get to look as a male how you interact with this, what beliefs, what we were raised, what we were role modeled with this relationship with women. And you know, Michael, the way you were describing this relationship through the earth, through the feminine energy. And I mean, that just all comes together with the way I look at it. And I talked to my dad, I mentioned that the feminine energy was rising. Well, from his perspective, that's extremely threatening. But to me, I look at it and it's beautiful, it's needed, it's balanced, and it is way overdue. And so only someone that can take a look at, you know, this, you know, what it is to be a man and to show up strong and to be dependable the way that we were raised. Yes, that's needed. You know, I get to talk to my son about showing up as a warrior, but not going around beating his chest and pushing people out of his way. It's like being to stand up as a warrior for integrity and truth. And if people need you to defend them, you stand there, but it's this presence of, you're not dominating. You know, the way we watch what's going around in the world is this male energy conquering everything and having to, it's so ego-based. And, you know, you start to learn about the ego. It's like, we're not going to get rid of the ego. It has a purpose, but we can bring it into balance when we understand what's going on. And so I love that. We all need to take a look at this relationship. I probably have a little too much feminine energy. And so trying to navigate, find the balance, I've enjoyed today. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, buddy. Brenda or Karen,
yes.
Either one of you, did you have something you want to contribute?
I do. I would be more than happy to. So for me, every morning, I have a labyrinth outside, and I've opened it to the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and people that channel that come over can feel the energy. So the bridge is something I've been doing for years. You go from the known across the bridge, whatever bridge you might want. Mine is white roses with elegant flowers, other flowers and diamonds and beautiful. I cross the bridge from the known to the unknown, which is connecting with my higher consciousness. And I stay in that energy and I connect with my galactic family, you know, the creator and my innate and my spiritual team. And then I go around as I bring the anchor, that energy into my body, you know, it comes into my tetrahedron field. And then I connect with Mother Earth Gaia into her root, into the center, and I connect with her tetrahedron, and I bring that energy of love and light into the earth. And it really grounds and balances the higher dimensions with the lower vibration frequency, and it raises the frequency. So for me, I do that every day. And then I go around and I use my power words, right? I am love, I am light, I am joy, I'm peace, I'm harmony, I am mastery. And you know, you go in your gratitude, and on the way out, you listen to what spirit has to say for your guidance for the day. And it's always have passion today. And I'm a sound healer, so I play crystal bowls every day at my house. My dogs come in my healing room and love it. So it's always raising the frequency, playing bowls. They want you to be in joy and peace and balanced, even though I work in corporate America. And when I come up against people in corporate America that are still in lower frequencies, when I'm in my morning meditation, I send them love so that they can be more balanced to where they need to be. I don't try to change anybody because they're all perfect, but it's really connecting every day with the earth in the higher realm and staying in that state of grace. That's what works for me.
Wow. Well, that's one powerful setting you have out your back door. Congratulations. Because as I was listening to you talk about it, I could sense the energy that was there. Holy cow, and you just feed that exchange every day. That's pretty cool. Thanks, Brenda.
Yeah.
Karen, did you have something you wanted to offer?
Yes, I do. First, I wanted to say, Brenda, that sounds just beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I wish you could come to my house and do that in my backyard. What I would do today in answer to your question, Paula, is, and I try and do this every day as well, remain heart-centered and watch everything going on around me with an observational neutrality. And because it took me a while to learn how to do that, but I would get so triggered by everything going on around me. So if I remain heart-centered and in that observational neutrality, it really helps.
That's good for people to hear that phenomenon. Because lots of people that are just starting out, you know, and just like me, I'd heard those words. I'd heard heart-centered and didn't really, the term resonated with me, but I didn't know how to do it, didn't know how to achieve it until something comes along and finally you just do. But that had more to do with what we were talking about around the idea of feeling things instead of using one of our five senses to try and comprehend from a human standpoint what it is that we're experiencing, because the energy shifts that are coming in our direction aren't going to be felt by our eyes and our ears and our nose and our mouth. That's not the way it's coming, but we know the changes are coming. So the more we can help each other refine that feeling, the quicker we'll all get where we're going.
Yes.
Anything else you wanted to leave us with,
That's
Karen?
That's interesting that you say that. Do you think that we can expedite this experience? You had said we're faster to get to where we're going.
I think it's, in my case, I think that it's accelerating like crazy. This whole last week, when I looked at what I had on the calendar a week before that, it looked like there wasn't much that I was going to be asked to do. And then last week was like a freaking whirlwind. And where I stand today after the week I just had was, holy cow, crazy things happened when I didn't think much was going to happen at all. And you know, and when I look out to what's coming at me next week, it looks like it's size enough to do the same thing. And I know that what's going on around me and the energies I'm responding to is no different than anybody else in this realm right here. And we're just a subset because that energy is going way beyond it. There was something that came along in one of the exchanges I'd had with one of my higher aspects toward the end of last week. And it had to do with this energy exchange that we had, this release that we sensed somehow after the first year was a karmic reset, that there was ancestral karmic loads that had been satisfied, shall we say, by all of humanity. So whatever gift we got in that regard was another lift that you got. So Phil, when you were talking about these ancestral karmic things, you used the word yourself. Here was some feedback we got about what really took place. So there was some kind of cosmic reset to our karmic loads as well, if you're paying attention, that happened. Yeah. So anything else anybody wants to leave us with before I go have lunch?
I'd just like to say thank you for holding space for all of us today. It's been beautiful.
And you know, I like these exchanges. I really like it when everyone else gets to step up and add their piece, because the things that Karen and Brenda both pointed out from their new perspectives resonated so much with me. Really, when I have extraordinary experiences, I want to hear somebody else's and not fed by my story first so that it influences what you're going to tell me. I want to hear if your story matches mine. And that's how I know Travis showed up. So every time it does, I just feel warmer and cuddlier, because what we need to get out of this together to prepare us to help the others that are coming, we just like the illustration where I see where Phil's sister fed Phil's flame and Phil is feeding his father's. Now you see how all this happens. And it wasn't that whatever Phil got from his sister and passed on to her father, the father didn't have to get it from the sister. My point is that the things that we're coming into our own power about and wherewithal about, like me, not everyone has to come and sit in front of me to get that. No, because Paula carried away what I talked about today, and so did Brenda and Karen and Phil and Michaela, because they're all in the same space. Whatever light I might have, you know, triggered a little bit brighter than them, they carried away with. The same thing was true in the exchanges that we carried away what Karen and Brenda had to offer for us today. Oh my God, no, there was something in these exchanges I was supposed to get out of it too. So thanks when you show up and do that. Now we're ready to go feed the next person, and they didn't need to get it from Brenda because Brenda left her little imprint on me as I went along. The next person's giving the benefit from what I heard from Brenda, and that's how this works. So the more we get to spend time with tribe and get comfortable with it, share our stories, get a little further along, it always triggers something else for our awareness to expand into. So I really look forward to Saturdays, when before I didn't know what the hell I was going to talk about on a podcast for over an hour. It just kind of takes its natural course of action, and I appreciate everybody that comes and contributes. So thank you all for that.
Thank you.
All right.
Good evening, you guys.
Thank you guys. So much. Have a great weekend. I'll have this up in a couple hours. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.